This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Weighs In, as I do on a weekly basis. Thank you for downloading these podcasts. Thank you for supporting Intelligent Medicine. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com and click subscribe. All we need is your email. We don't use your email for any other reason. You may unsubscribe to that free newsletter at any time. If you wish to, send me an email with a topic of interest, questions that you'd like to hear me answer and discuss at length. You want to hear me weigh in on this podcast, please email me. radioprogram@AOL.com is the email. That is radioprogram@AOL.com. If you'd like to make an appointment, call our office. We are open, and I'm also available for telemedicine. 212-779-1744. 212-779-1744. No reason to come to New York City if you don't want to. Okay, that's always an option. All right, let's dive in. Let's talk about aging. Let's talk about successful aging. Now, I remember back in the day when Oprah Winfrey had her daily show, I remember her saying, 50 is the new 30. 60 is the new 40. Think about it. Think about your grandparents. Think about maybe even your parents, depending on how old you are. Remember them at the age you are today. Do they seem older to you? I'm 56. When I think of my mother at 56, to me, well, maybe she's just because she's my mother. So maybe there's some bias here, but she seemed older at 56 than I feel I am at 56. Or it could be that, you know, the whole age thing, it's just an inside job. It's how you feel. I remember there was a study done. I don't remember the details of this study, but they took everyone, older people in their 60s, 70s, and they brought them back to a period of their lives where they were young adults, maybe in their 20s. Say the 60s, the 70s, something like that. When they were in their 20s. I don't remember the length of this experiment, but the results, the observations were profound. These folks started acting younger. They started acting like they were in their 20s. They started to feel like they were younger. So I do believe it when I hear that people say age is a state of mind. I do believe on some level that it is. I think it also makes a difference who you hang out with, who you're married to, who you're surrounded by, and how they feel, right? You know, are you around people saying, wow, well, I'm in my 50s now. I've got this and that and this problem and that problem, and I'm stiff in the morning, and oh no, it's not like it was when I was 28. Or something, right? We've all heard this. Anyway, so I picked up this bit of very interesting information that Jeff Bland has talked about. He talks about a new focus for successful aging. And of course, it matters to all of us, successful aging. We want to age well. We want to remain healthy. What is the point of living way into your 90s if you're going to do so under an oxygen tent in a hospital, half comatose, right? We want to age well. We want to remain healthy. And of course, we want to be as independent for as long as possible. So successful aging matters for all of us. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast if it didn't, right? Regardless of our chronological age, our birthdays, which seem to come faster and faster, the years go by faster and faster as we get older, which is so completely unfair. Do you remember being 5 years old, 6 years old? To me, that year lasted, I don't know, 5 years. We were in a state of endless curiosity and wonder. And maybe that's what's missing. As we're grown up and adults, we're into our routines. It's almost rote. We're on autopilot. We need more curiosity and wonder, not just stopping to smell the roses. Absolutely, stop every day and smell the flowers. Do all of that. But we need more time for imagination, for questions, for examination. Maybe that's what slows time down. Maybe that's why time rolls by so endlessly for young children, because they are constantly learning. We need to be learning too. Anyway, so regardless of chronological age, we're all subject to biological aging's influences and stressors, and we all have the capacity for healing and relearning in ways that touch physical, metabolic, emotional, and cognitive functions. And though humans have long studied things like our circadian rhythms, you know, our sleep and wake cycles, our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system function, and our fasting practices, we've also studied burgeoning science behind chronobiology, immunometabolism, gerontology, you know, the process of aging in cells and organisms, gerontology. Remember Geritol? Remember the Lawrence Welk show and the Geritol commercials? It brings that memory to mind. So all of this is bringing new focus to how lifestyle practices can influence resilience and brain plasticity over time. Remember, it was only a short time ago that neuroscience discovered that once neuronal cells die, that's not the end. They can regenerate. We can have more new neurons and pathways and all of that. That's fascinating, and that was quite the discovery at the time, and it was only recently, because we thought once you lost brain cells, that was it. You were on permanent shrinkage, but no. There is more regeneration and plasticity and much hope for all of that, and it depends on how we live and how we eat, all of it, and exercise, particularly aerobic exercise for BDNF, BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Dr. Perlmutter, for example, talks about that a lot, BDNF, and how important it is for our brain health. So coming back to this, our lifestyle practices can influence resilience and brain plasticity over time. It turns out that rejuvenation depends to a great extent on downtime in cells as well as in people. And it consists of a lot more than putting head to pillow. So let's talk about some of these research insights that Dr. Jeffrey Bland brings to light here. I'm going to give you a term here that you may have heard Dr. Hoffman talk about. It is Autophagy. What is autophagy? Autophagy is detox for cells. For optimal long-term function, cellular hygiene may be even more crucial than bodily, and it has a lot to do with daily balance between caloric intake and physical activity. Autophagy in cells and mitophagy in energy-producing mitochondria, so here are two terms for you, autophagy and mitophagy, are the processes by which damaged and dysfunctional cells and cell parts are recycled and converted into waste. It's our cellular house cleaning. We need autophagy. We get to do that when we fast for at least 12 hours every night. So, in proper balance, they keep cells, tissues, and organs operating at peak performance. Yet, they cannot take place in bodies in a constantly fed state. What does that mean? Are you a chronic grazer? Are you chronically eating on and off all day long until bedtime? Are you eating, say, by 9 p.m., but you're up again at 6 or 7 and eating again? You didn't get the requisite 12 hours. And our bodies are not meant to be digesting at night when we go to bed. Our stomach should be fairly empty. 3 hours after dinner, 3 hours after that last evening snack, maybe sometime after dinner, should be bedtime. We should no longer be digesting, or not as much. Not going to bed on a full stomach. So, in proper balance, they keep this autophagy, mitophagy, they keep our cells, tissues, and organs operating at peak performance, yet they cannot take place in bodies in a constantly fed state, which is then theorized to contribute to common conditions like cardiovascular disease, like cognitive impairment, and chronic inflammation. For the body, having distinct times for 1, ingesting and processing calories, 2, producing mental and or physical function, and 3, rest periods focused on healing and detoxification presents a prime strategy for limiting biological aging and is in harmony with the conditions under which humans and our metabolism adapted to adversity and evolved. So, as I said earlier, autophagy can be easily reached by making sure you fast 12 hours every night. So if your last meal, if your breakfast is at 7 and you're finished by 7:30, 8 o'clock, you shouldn't have if your dinner is done between 7 and you're finished by 8, for example, your breakfast should not happen until after 8 a.m. the next morning. And of course, there should be no middle of the night snacking. There should be no late night watching in front of the TV or a snack before you go to bed. You need 12 hours because all of this peaks at 12 hours. Medical fasting can assist autophagy, this nighttime detox, this house cleaning of our cells and our metabolism. Regular sweat-producing physical activity is one very functional way of encouraging the processes of autophagy. But another is to allow for periods of restricted feeding that can trigger sustained beneficial autophagy. Fasting is not appropriate for everyone. However, it is recommendable to discuss options with a knowledgeable practitioner beforehand. Some individuals may benefit more from limiting certain foods, while caloric restriction may be more strategic for others. And those taking medications may need close medical supervision, yet maintaining overall nutritional sufficiency is key for each of these instances. And some of the better known forms of fasting include limiting daily intake to a 7 to an 11 hour eating window, followed by a 13 to 17 hour fast. Remember, I said 12 hours is the minimum, and that's where it peaks. So fasting a little bit longer is beneficial. So eat between a 7 to 11 hour window during the day. And then when you sleep at night, all night long in the next morning, be fasting for 13 to 17 hours. Another way of doing this is temporarily restricting intakes of certain foods, such as in the fasting mimicking diet, which has shown cardiometabolic benefits in both healthy and not so healthy individuals, or in elimination diets, which are helpful in treating immune and other conditions. This is state-of-the-art medical nutrition therapy when it's for a medical condition. Another way to do this is the 5-2 eating plan. That's the number 5 and the number 2 eating plan, in which 5 days of relatively unrestricted but basically healthy eating is followed by 2 days of restricted eating, right? So that eating window of 7 to 11 hours followed by a 13 to 17 hour fast can be done on 2 consecutive days of the week, followed by 5 days of how you would normally do it, but eating healthfully. And another way of doing it is therapeutic metabolic detoxification, which is supervised, right? You want supervision for this. And this is done for a host of metabolic, immune, cardiovascular, and other conditions. So targeted nutrition does make a big contribution. That's why we're talking about this here, right? So with stress, aging, toxic exposures, and or ill health, appropriate nutrition is important in regaining wellness. But individual genetic variations can interact with lifestyle and environmental influences to modify optimal nutrient intake in unique ways. Here's an example. Obesity may increase the underlying needs for good quality fats, the omega-3 fats. Extended use of blue light emitting devices, your phone, your computer, your tablet, will heighten your eyes' needs for protective carotenoids. Moderate protein intake may be optimal from ages 50 to 65, while greater provision of protein may be advantageous beyond 65 years old. Right? So phytonutrients found in common plant foods can also contribute to autophagy and cellular rejuvenation, underscoring the advantages of consuming a plant-rich diet with a lot of vegetables, herbs, and fruits, right? So, the strawberry flavonoid fisetin may be particularly strong activator for autophagy, and it's been found to mimic the protective effects of caloric restriction in animals with accelerating aging processes or exposed to lead. And you know lead is linked to neurocognitive dysfunction. Quercetin is another flavonoid that supports autophagy, right? You'll find it in onions, apples, oolong and green teas, black teas, garlic, shallots, turmeric, citrus fruits, peppers, red wine. Quercetin is phenomenal for inflammatory processes. We prescribe it a lot for allergies. It's good for oxidative stress. So, mind, body, and mental exercise keep neuroplasticity limber. Mind, body practices like yoga, the martial arts, and meditation explore the broad area linking cognition and body conditioning and are respected for their effects on stress resistance and emotional resilience. In one example, practicing Tai Chi was seen to impact the brain's functional interconnections and executive function in older people. And a lifestyle program including yoga and mindfulness improved neural plasticity and related biomarkers in subjects in a recent study on depression. Focused mental activity is another way to, quote, exercise, end quote, the mind. And in younger, as well as older people, memory training can influence both structural and functional neuroplasticity, right, to differing degrees. Everyone has multiple biological clocks. Though all these points mentioned are keys to successful aging, their effects all depend on what time the body feels it. And because cellular aging affects cell function so profoundly, they also depend on how old the body feels it is. Optimizing lifestyle and environmental exposures might actually lower this perceived epigenetic age. And this is according to groundbreaking research by Steve Horvath, PhD, who is a featured speaker at Personal Lifestyle Medicine Institute's Thought Leaders Consortium last year in 2019. Every cell in the body is programmed to work best within certain parameters, and time period may be one of the most important. Therefore, when one does things is just as crucial as what one does and doesn't do, like eating during the day and not at night, for example. And quality downtime is a key means of cultivating performance during active times. Respecting whether one is more of a morning person or a night person is increasingly central to improving mental and physical performance and managing disease risk, right? As one example, brain waves are attuned to attention and performance during daylight hours and to restorative and sleep patterns during the absence of sunlight. And digestion, metabolism, and elimination are carefully organized to harmonize with daily physical and mental activity and thus shift work. Working all night, sleeping all day, shift work is associated with inflammation and dysfunction. Limiting one's eating schedules by time may represent a simple means of managing as well as preventing conditions that are currently prevalent, like diabetes, liver, cardiovascular, cognitive, or gastrointestinal disease. Allowing deep and restful sleep to occur is equally crucial, and optimizing one's sleeping environment by keeping it cool and as dark, quiet, and free from EMF fields as possible may help. Regular physical activity appears to enhance restorative sleep time, while animal research suggests that a high-calorie diet may interfere with sleep patterns, and especially that very deep, restful, non-REM sleep. That sleep where you're not quite dreaming yet, that really restorative sleep that typically occurs between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. And finally, quality downtime for rejuvenation also entails spending time away from addictive substances that interfere with healing, such as tobacco, caffeine, alcohol, and others. Jeffrey Bland does such a beautiful job of putting all this together. So autophagy, resting, rejuvenation, cellular rejuvenation, house cleaning. You need a minimum of 12 hours every night for this to happen for your health. So make sure that it happens. It's easy enough to do. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman.
If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.